Explorer and RSS. And I'm here with Marcus Mielke, who's the PM for our CSS.
Hi, guys.
Rendering engine in Internet Explorer 7. And Yin Xie, who is the tech lead dev guy for the CSS feature.
I don't know.
Yep. So, you know, now that we've released Beta 2 of IE and people have had a chance to look at their sites in IE 7, people are noticing that we've made some CSS changes. So,
woohoo!
So, this is actually one of the things that's been getting a lot of positive press with IE, is the significant steps that we've made in standard support for the CSS standards. However, a couple things come up. The first thing is, when are you going to have full CSS support? And the other thing is, why are you breaking my pages that used to work in IE6 just to have standard support? So it seems like there's a couple of, you know, there's the community that wants strict backwards compat, and there's the community that wants better web support. So, you know, I'd like you to cover that a little bit today, but also just go into some in-depth demos of the new CSS functionality, show how people can use these in their sites, and, you know, just kind of go into some of the technical details of how you did this, right?
We'll do that. Thanks, Josh, for asking those questions. First, I wanted to just give you a little introduction, like, how do we actually prioritize the work we did for IE7? Because that'll touch us on some of the questions you had there. The first thing we went out was pretty much started listening to the community. So there are great customer sites out there. There's Eric Meyer, there's Position is Everything, there's Quirks Mode, there's a Web Standards group, and these are all great groups out there which kind of like collect issues. And one of the top points we heard there was like, wow, there's actually a lot of inconsistencies in IE6, and it makes it really hard to work. So prime focus was first to get these inconsistencies out of the way, so people can actually it's easier for them to work within an Explorer. That was our prime one goal. The next thing we really heard clearly in the community is, please give us more standard support. Please, please, please. So we made some effort on kind of like first focusing on extending a little bit the CSS support we already started in the past. For example, colon hover on all elements, not just anchors, background attachment fixed, all these things we already started in the past, but now we have available on all elements. Mm. And the next thing was pretty much to take a look on what are the highest requested features, so people can actually build very rich, very powerful websites. And obviously the top one was like fixed positioning, improved selector support, and we already mentioned the colon hover. And just to show you, for example, what's now possible is with very rich design is, here's a little bit of site which is built in the spirit of CSS Zen Garden. I'm sure a lot of people of the Channel 9 audience know this site. It's an awesome site. Dave Scher is the founder there. And the idea of CSS Zen Garden is pretty much that you have a fixed HTML, and you can just style it the way it was. You have to use whatever the HTML was available, and you can use whatever CSS we have. So here, for example, I want to point out three things. So first is like the fixed frame. So if I scroll this, you notice everything kind of like outside stays fixed. It's beautiful. So you can build like frame-like pages in a very lightweight manner. The next thing I wanted to kind of show off is like if you scroll, how you see the little fading effects here.
So how are you doing that? How's that work?
So I'll get to that in a second. And then it's just like colon hover on elements. So one of the challenges of the site is that you're not allowed to touch the HTML. So if you kind of like pop this open, you kind of like see we haven't touched anything of the markup which provided by Dave Scher, so all his comments are in there as well. And the only thing we did was pretty much provide our own custom style sheet. And all these images you see, for example, are just background images we use on divs, so we don't touch the markup. And I can actually probably just pop open the style sheet. And yeah, before I pop it open, I just want to point out, of course, hey, and it's all cross-browser. See, it's Opera. That's Firefox.
Cool.
And yeah, everything's live, of course. So,
style.css. Oh, it's not called style.css. Just see how it's called. Oh, sample.css. And you can see it's just pure, beautiful CSS. And there's a lot of fixed positioning going on. So one question we always receive is like, hey, why don't we prop it up? Why don't we submit it to the CSS and go inside? And one of the requirements of that content is that it also needs to run beautifully in IS6. And actually, we try to build a page where we can say, hey, how will the iteration of the web look like with all the rich CSS features which are now available across all these multiple platforms? So that's why we haven't submitted it to CSS Zen Garden yet. So this just gives you a little flair of like what's now possible. So let's talk a little bit more about what work we did around the pain points. And Yin can probably talk a little more in detail there, is that one of our focus points was the website position is everything, because it collected a lot of really outrageous issues in IS6. And I can just show you some of my favorite ones.
I see a lot of bug fixed.
Yeah, I'll get to that.
I think there's one of them that's not. Right?
Yeah, there's we actually our target was to fix all of them on the site, and we were able with the time available to fix everything except of one bug, which will hopefully come in the next release. So we got so close, but we missed it by one bug. And I also hope like in the next time more people will submit bugs so we can have more things to do.
Sure.
So just to give you an example here, for example, the double float margin bug. If you would set in IS6 a margin of 100 pixels, you would end up with 200 pixels. Now, beautifully fixed in IS7, you don't get these weirdnesses. One of the key bugs, a lot of people say 3-pixel text jog was driving designers mad for years, because once you had a float in front of a box, you would notice this little 3-pixel gap, and you kind of see it better here when it's blown up. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the float stopped, it would go back to normal. And it really made your designs kind of look funny. And now, IS7, everything works nicely as expected. This is my absolute favorite one. It's like, this was IS6 partying too hard, and it got a little bit out of line, and the text started to creep, and boom, hit the wall there.
Mm-hmm.
Now in IS6, we're straight on target, so we can party hard again in IS7. So, this kind of just gives you a little taste about what type of bug fixes
we have. I know a better one. There's one bug. People try to make a picture of IE logo using margins, paddings, percentage values.
Oh, yeah, if you want to show it, go to the left.
That one was the funniest I saw. Where was it? I can show you the behavior in IE6. Is everything dot night?
Dot night, yeah.
Surf the internet from the console window, huh? True geek. Yes.
Okay, doesn't seem to work. Right. That's too differently.
See, I'm old school.
I'm not going to click on a freaking icon on the desktop.
Oh, it worked! The one I was talking about is this one here.
Oh, cool. Oops. That's just Trident.
Yeah.
It's just developing.
That's our debug build.
Here we go. That's the logo I was talking about. Can you recognize a... Oh, sorry, by accident I mouse over one of the stuff that transformed into IE. It was not the intent. It wasn't the initial intent. I refresh again and see the behavior another time.
Yeah.
That would you get when you load initially the page.
Uh-huh.
Whenever you do something on a page, boom, it fixes all the problems.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
the recalc problem.
That's funny. It's a bug.
Interesting. Recalc.
So we actually we actually fixed that one, of course.
Fix that. The markers can show you the behavior today. Surprise!
Yeah, it works out. It works out of the bat.
It is. The most nice. Doesn't change.
Excellent.
Yeah. But I mean, obviously, this is just like gives you like a little taste of like how much pain it is sometimes for the developer to work in these environments. If you if you expect a certain behavior and then something completely, I would say, random stuff happen. So we really try to focus to get all these issues out of the way, so people can rely on the behavior of Internet Explorer. They can expect the certain things to happen they expect to happen.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Do you want
to? I can go over some simple examples. The things we have done in IE7, which fixes a lot of issues we've seen on the web. I start with a basic, very basic thing in IE6. Whenever you have a block level element, say a div.
Mm-hmm. Can you see can you make the font bigger?
So people can sure. How about 20
great.
Points? So I have three divs. The first div has a class OF hidden, second one OF auto, third one OF scroll. All of them gonna include float left span. Okay. Now we're gonna look at the style of those divs.
Mm-hmm.
Or if hidden, you just overflow hidden with the background color so you can clearly see it. Over scroll, overflow with scroll is overflow specified to a scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Or if auto is just overflow auto. So you can see over here in IE6 that the float is outside of the element, the div element. Clearly the float is outside of the background area. So that's interesting because in the CSS standard we clearly say that whenever you
specify,
yeah, the magic book here, what it says is that whenever you specify an overflow value, which is different than overflow visible, that block level element should be a block formatting context,
mm-hmm.
which means it should contain the float. Well, now I show you how we do in IE7 today. So you can see, whoa, the float is inside that background area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's inside, it's contained in the element.
Sure.
Right.
Even which is better, what you'd expect.
Yes. Even right. better, whenever you say overflow scroll, you see the scroll bar, even though it's not active because you
yeah.
don't need to scroll anything. But if I resize, well, not here because
it's
size too content, so sure. it doesn't really.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
This is one of the things we have done. So I think the major work we have done in IE7 was overflow visible support. So what we used to do was, let me bring it up here. Oops. Well, everybody may remember this. Whenever you specify a width and a height to a block level element,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't really respect that. You tell this guy, go set the width to 100 pixels, height 100 pixels.
Only if the content inside would fit into that into the
yeah,
box. At that point, IE6 would just start growing mm-hmm. the box.
Sure.
Just look at the first div here. So
it
has
font bigger.
I forgot that again. Sorry. So let's look at the first div here. This div is the orange div on the left side here.
Okay.
So it has a class div class one.
Mm-hmm.
What's div class one? It says background color orange, width 150 pixels, height 100 pixels.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect? What you want from this div is it has a width of 150 pixels and a height of 100 pixels, right?
Mm-hmm.
But look at the IE6. We actually grow the box to be the size of the content.
Of the content.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much driving designers mad for
years. That may drive people
crazy. You
cannot
really align all the boxes because you cannot actually 100% predict that that the box will have a certain dimension.
Now that let's look at IE7 behavior. Mm-hmm. So actually, you want the height to be 100 pixels. Well, you're right. Then we set it to 100 pixels. Mm-hmm. But the content going to overflow out because by default, the div has overflow property to set to visible, meaning that content should be visible, although the box is restricted to whatever size you set to it.
Sure.
So the author can then pretty much decide through like another overflow, other properties to like get a scroll bar, get the overflow contents clipped, and mm-hmm. so on. So the designer has like full more control about what to do with that extra content, mm-hmm. and can ensure that its layout doesn't actually change.
Actually, sure. Marcus said it very well, is that it's more predictable. Say, whatever size you set to it, mm-hmm. going to take the size instead of trying to grow left or right.
Sure.
You know,
well, I mean,
make the whole thing
you,
nice.
You would never, I mean, why would I say, you know, give you a fixed dimensions and expect that it would grow?
Yeah, right? Predictability, reliability, that's uh-huh. pretty much that's pretty much
great.
The key here.
Yeah. Very good.
You can see on the same page, I have two more divs. So I'm going to show you another feature we have done, is the Minmax support.
Mm.
So on the second div, this guy has a class set to div class 2. The definition of this class is right here. It says the background, the agenda, min width. Ooh, what's new about this min width thing? 150, max width 300. Height is 100 pixels. Let's see how IE6 does. Ooh, uh-huh. Wait a minute.
Doesn't do anything.
That's really.
Doesn't understand
well,
them.
I said 100 to, wait a minute. 150 to 300, actually, it doesn't really have any restrictions. So let's look at IE7. The same div here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the height is set to 100, not going to grow like in IE6 we did. But not only that, we actually implement the minmax here. So we never shrink below 150. We never grow above 300.
Outstanding.
Yeah, that's important too, because there are a few behaviors people expect from IE7, IE6. People still can do with the help of min and max.
At this point, I just want to answer one of other Josh's question was pretty much, what we do with app site compatibility. What do you do with all the people, all the content which already has been developed in IE6? Obviously, this changes now the landscape. In the past, my content was growing, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden, the box dimension will be respected. What I'm going to do? The first key thing, site compatibility, super, super important for us. It's after security, number one, I think, on our list of things we take very, very, very serious. So in Internet Explorer, we actually have two rendering modes. One is the so-called Quirks mode, mm-hmm. the other one is the so-called Standard or Strict mode. And the author can decide which of these modes it wants to operate in. If it's in Quirks mode, it pretty much means that we will not change behavior since the IE5.5 days. So pretty much once I have a page authored, we will promise to our customers we will not change the behavior. This is especially useful for intranet customers because they know the platform of IE, they don't want any changes, they just want to build more rich products on it. And on the opposite, in strict mode, we try to be as adherent to the standard, especially like to the CSS 2.1 standard, as mm-hmm. possible. And sadly means that we will introduce behavior changes in the name of standards to be more compliant. So in this case, what can people do to upgrade their sites? As Yin mentioned, the min-max functionality will actually provide a bridge to go back to behavior.
I want to show you a demo, what you just said.
Oh, excellent. If you even have a demo.
Look at on the same page, there's a third deal here.
And I promise this is not rehearsed because I actually didn't know he has a demo.
Now the div here, look,
that was
people.
Good section,
I want to achieve the same effect we actually had in the first div, right? I want this guy to be restricted to 150 pixel wide, but I want the box to grow for whatever content that the div has, right? Mm-hmm. But we said that if we set the weight and the height is going to be respected in IE7. You would not see the background grow to the content, mm-hmm. The height of content. However, you can use min-max to achieve that effect. Look at the div 3 here. It has a class div class 3. Let's see how we use that min-max to achieve size 2 content effect. The height, I mean.
To grow the content.
To grow the content on the height. The div class 3 is defined as with the background light green, the width 150, meaning that you restrict the width. But you don't want to restrict height. You want the height to grow to the content height, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't set the height, you set the mean height. You say, oh, I don't want this guy to shrink below 100 pixels. However, I want this guy to grow as much I have content in it.
Sure.
Okay? So what you're going to have in IE6, it's going to grow naturally. But in IE7, because of mean height, we actually grow the box to whatever the content is, unless content is smaller than 100 pixels.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, we actually cannot shrink less than 100 pixels.
Well, you could just set it lower, right?
I can set lower to really have the full effect. So essentially, this green div here is exactly like the orange div.
So if you see overlapping content on your pages, if you, for example, see like content bleeding into other content areas, you have like two very simple tools. You can either set the correct width or height of the content that automatically will fix this, or you can apply the new properties min width, min height, and it will also address pretty much reverse back to issues.
It sounds like you were saying there was another option, which is they could set the page to be in Quirks mode, and then it would just behave the way it did in IE6.
It depends. If you set it back to Quirks mode, we will render in the Quirks mode behavior. But probably that also means we still use the old IE55 box model. So it's not quite as simple as using the Quirks mode switch.
So you might lose some other IE6 functionality that you've
If you have authored your page under the strict doc type for IE6.
Yep.
And now you want to continue to run on the strict talk type in IE7, you will have to do these tweaks to update it. But I mean, you opted in to be in a strict mode to begin with. That means probably you want to be as standards compliant as possible, because you also want to run cross browsers. Mm-hmm. You want to enable like rich pages like the Zen Garden one we just saw here. So it's very important to you that you want to be across browser and standards of sharing. So mm-hmm. I think at that point, just some minor tweaks, and you'll be back in business again.
Excellent.
I want to show people something we did to the background borders. This pretty big change. I want people to know about it. For example,
what you did with what? Page. Background borders?
Background borders for block level elements.
Okay.
So this page actually is quite simple, even though it's displayed so complicated.
Font size.
Let me set it bigger. This is the HTML of this page. It's just a div with some dimensions. It has a width of almost 100 pixels and a height of 100%, which to make sure it's big enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it contains a couple of p tags, another block level element. Each p tag, the only difference between the p tag is they have different value to paddings and margins. Mm-hmm. The first one has padding left of 50 pixels. The second one had the margin left of 50 pixels, et cetera. So I want to show you that in IE6, because we don't respect the size, we actually grow the box anyhow to the content size it is, and the background and the borders goes with it.
Okay.
So you can see clearly that the background borders doesn't really go against the continuing block, which is the green box,
mm-hmm.
but it covers only the content area. It's kind of weird. Yeah. People cannot really know how this is going to behave, so that they set correctly border and backgrounds.
Okay.
But in IE7, because we fixed the overflow issue, so we can fix the background and borders as well.
Mm.
So you can see clearly that we respect the boundary of the green box. For those who stick out like this, because you have negative left margin.
Sure.
This has negative right margins. Of course, if you have a negative margins, the box can go out.
Absolutely.
Or you have a margin of 50 pixels here, the right edge have to go on the left side by 50 pixels.
Great.
So this is really what the spec says.
Excellent. Yeah.
I think we should also show a little bit about what work we did about absolute positioning.
Oh yeah, that's another funny one.
Because like there's also a lot of pages, especially like a lot of people try to build like rich three column layouts, for example, and their percentages becomes a very important issue.
Mm-hmm. You're saying about the absolute position fixes we did?
Yeah, you talk about and the percentages too.
Yeah, somebody show me this page.
Show this one in I6.
Looks pretty cool, right? That's so definitely. You mouse over it, you have some cool, but I think it's pretty cool. It's like a piece of art. But IE6 is not quite that piece of art. Let me find
more abstract art.
It's a piece of something.
It's an impressionistic piece.
Here we go.
Oh, nice.
Well, you can see much from here.
It's pretty much what's happening is like we started collapsing the boxes, we're getting confused with percentages, and again to the same theme is not expecting what you expect would happen. It goes back to the reliability, predictability theme.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now we're actually honoring the percentages, you actually get what you expect to happen mm-hmm. out of this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So here I have another demo to show the same thing, but a little bit detailed. To see where the problem was. So, whenever absolute position element has a left and right, mm-hmm. the left and right is based on its containing block. Okay. In IE6, the notion of clean containing block wasn't very clear, so we actually attached to something not very predictable. In IE7, we make it pretty predictable here. Specifically, in this example, I have this.
Wow, I should call it a record.
I have this A tag, mm-hmm. which is absolutely positioned. That's background pink, okay. You attach to right zero pixels, left zero pixels, okay. Mm-hmm. So let's see what is containing block. In CSS, containing block is defined as, especially for a position absolute element, it has to be a positioned element, okay. In this example, the position element is actually the span, its parent, because it's position relative.
Okay.
Well, in IE6, I want to show you the behavior in IE6 to see how it can look like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the zero isn't really zero here, right? Left zero is not really left zero, right zero is not really left right zero. Mm-hmm. The top is totally off the mark. Well, in IE7, you can clearly see that left is left, right is right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can shrink it. You see, we always attach to the left edge of the first line and the right edge of last line.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case is negative, so it shrunk to nothing. However, we still overflow correctly. But in IE6, if you shrink it, it's give you not much different, even though the red edge is changing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not very predictable. Yeah, IE7 will fix that problem.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, Marcus, we did another thing pretty amazing.
Let me show you some of the features. So what we just talked about was pretty much the inconsistencies, predictability bugs. We focused the bar on a lot of absolute position. We had some issues around relative position, some floating issues, which got reported to us quite often. One thing I want to just mention a little bit, show a little bit here is, let me see if I have it open. Here is kind of like I could just show off another feature of an I7 is always user zoom. What kind of additional features work we did? So, as I mentioned before, we did fixed positioning. We added now transparent PNGs to the page. We also added now background attachment fixed on all elements, call and hover. And the key thing, what a lot of people were expecting, we now have much better selector support. So we added all the child, siblings, selectors, all these different selector types to it. In addition, we also started to do a couple of CSS3 selectors, I think prefix, prefab. We did a couple there as well, because we were already in the code base. It was very simple to do. And I'm also part of the CSS working group, so I kind of know this part of the specs are very stable, and it's not going to change anymore. So safe for us to do. One of the features I want to show you is background attachment fix. And here you can see very rich effects. Let me just go back to regular. So what you see here is pretty much two images. And one is, and this is pretty much similar to like virtual Earth, what you see where you have the satellite image and the street maps. And one of the problems is always mapping the street maps on top of the satellite image. Mm. But wouldn't it be cool if I can just have this little lens type, which I can move, and I can actually can see the street names underneath.
Look like a game.
And I can I can see where I'm going.
Excellent.
And the beauty of really cool. The beauty of this demo is, it's one line of CSS. It's super powerful, very simple to do, and I can just show you this here. And I have the same problem.
Font.
Except I'm not.
You should have said that, Yang.
Yeah. I'm more tolerant.
Just have to zoom in a couple times. Hope that's visible for the guys watching on the audience. And the key thing here I just want to point out is this little line here. Is where we're just setting a background image of that street map, kind of like positioning on the top left corner where also the satellite image is, and then have this div's background attached to that big background. The size of the div is not going to change. Mm-hmm. So whenever I move over it, it'll just pick up the right street names in conjunction with it. Very powerful, very simple, power of CSS.
Awesome demo.
And yeah. I also want to know. Answer your like third question, like what are the commitments to CSS 2.1? Like what's going on with you guys? And just me being on the CSS working group, I think it's already a clear sign. We're fully committed to CSS 2.1. We're working hard on it, we're making progress in every release, and we'll get to it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the message I want to get.
I have one demo to show people. I think Marcus was pretty mad about it. Was the transparent borders.
Ah, yeah, that's another great one.
I think people use that for something. I kind of try to think what people use transparent for, or transparent borders for. You know, I made this simple page. Mm-hmm. Quite simple, it's just font! I remember that.
Well trained.
Just four images, right? Mm-hmm. I have a very simple style sheet here. It says image, give some borders, you know, width is 5 pixels, style is rich, and the color is transparent. Look, transparent. Okay. Mm-hmm. But whenever I mouse over it, I change the color. So you can see whenever I mouse over any of the image, mm-hmm. suddenly has a nice frame, golden frame.
Great.
Which you couldn't do in IE6. I can show you right here. Let me see. Oop. We already have a rich border when you load, so there's no way. Oh, we don't support hover either, so.
That's the thing. Supported hover, the problem would be solved.
Not really.
Why? Because you would always get the border.
Always get the border.
Turn the border off the image in the image tag.
Yeah, you could.
Well, when it turn on.
Throw a border around it.
For example, if we do like you said, and say, when you mouse over it, give a width, other way, give a 0 pixel. Certainly turn off the border.
And then get rid of the transparent. Oh, all right.
You don't have to, but look. Actually jumpy. Why? Because, you know, you have the border taking 5 pixels of your dimension, then the whole layout is changed. You don't want that at all.
No.
Right?
Cool.
So that's why it's so interesting to have the transparency border.
All right, man. Actually, excellent point.
Another one, last one, of course, the most famous one is transparent PNGs. And even though it's not part of CSS2 specification,
I think it's just so much fun to demo. Like what we have here is like pretty much three transparent borders, like sun, the eagle, and the shadow. And as you can see, as I move the eagle over it, you can kind of like nicely see it through. Or if you see the shadows over the mountains.
Wow.
So you can achieve very rich effects.
That is a great demo.
With alpha transparency. So you will see in the next couple of years very rich pages built out on the internet using these capabilities, because now all major browsers support it.
Great. Fantastic.
Okay, great. I guess that covers it. And you know, people can go ahead and ask questions in the forums after looking at the video.
Yeah, and, I just want to add one more little thing to this. As we just showed you, like we did a lot of changes, especially under the strict doc type, where we're really trying to move closer to what the CSS standard is doing. But as you mentioned, whenever we do changes, that means people have to go in and update your sites. And really would like to ask the community to help us in the process, because if we're kind of like working together on this, it makes it also easier for us to change our behavior in the names of standards. Because when we know that the community supports it and we know they're updating their pages, then we're just tag teaming and we're moving the web forwards to bring these standards to everyone. So let me ask you this question.
One question that gets asked frequently is just why not de facto just support the standards, period? No, I mean, that's one of the questions that get asked.
No,
not a political question.
It's a fair question. I think the truthful answer is time.
Okay.
It's like Rome hasn't been built in one day, and we're adding one column to it every day, and we're trying to work as hard as possible, as fast as possible. We're back in the game. And you will see another IE release shortly, and you will see progress.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Great.
Great work. So I guess, you know.
Yep, that's it.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, guys.